Chapter 13.
"He's dead," Phineas hissed, as we leaned over the merman's body.
"How?"
"I'm not sure," I murmured, and looked over my shoulder toward the window. "But I think we'll have to get out there to find out."
"Lord Evan!"
I recognized Trina's voice through the fresh hole in the window.
"Are you all right?"
"We're fine, but the fisherman is dead," I called out. "Someone just cast a spell through that window." The dryads cursed and muttered to each other for a moment before Marina popped her head into the hole.
"Ravi saw him,"
she exclaimed.
"We're going after him."
Then her head disappeared from sight as I growled in frustration.
"Hurry up! We can't let them go after him alone," I shouted as I kicked my way toward the door.
"Right behind you,"
Phineas growled, and flipped his fin to speed past me.
"Not anymore,"
I grumbled as I paddled faster to catch up. It wasn't as easy to follow a trail through the water, but I caught the smoky campfire scent of Ravi's hair and the dryad's natural forest aroma, and pointed down the road to our left where a row of houses stood. Then we breezed past a handful of startled mer people who hovered near the road with various expressions of surprise.
"Your Grace, what's going on?"
one of them called out to the Duke.
"No time,"
he yelled back as we continued to follow the trail.
"Get inside,"
I added, and took long strokes through the water to keep up with the mermen. The merpeople scattered in a frenzy and scurried into their homes without another word, and we rounded a corner to follow the trail further into the city. Suddenly, Phineas and his men skidded to a halt at a T in the road.
"Huh, which way?"
the Duke groaned, as his head swiveled back and forth.
"This is why I need to be in front," I hissed, and homed in on the scent of my lovers before I pointed left.
"This way."
Phineas frowned with frustration, and then followed close behind me toward the center of the city. The scent became stronger, and my skin tingled with excitement as we neared our prey. Then I saw the dryads and Ravi hovering just on the edge of the market. The road was packed full of people, and they were nearly shoulder to shoulder as they made their way to the various shops and stands.
"Oh, hell," the Duke cursed. "It's midday. Everyone is here for lunch. How are we going to find him?"
"He went into the crowd,"
Ravi muttered.
"We couldn't see him at all anymore."
"What did he look like?" I asked, and kicked a little higher to search from above the crowd.
"He's a merman,"
Polina said dryly.
"Well, I think he'd stick out if he wasn't,"
Trina chided her.
"He had a weird tail, though. Like, it was yellow, but old." "Yeah, like mustard that's been sitting out for a long time,"
Marina agreed.
"But he wore a black robe with a hood, so we never saw his face."
"Who do you know with a rotten yellow tail?" I turned to Phineas, whose face looked completely bewildered.
"I have no idea," he murmured. "We must check everywhere."
"Okay, let's start asking people," I decided, and floated closer to the crowd.
"Hey, you can't just swim over everyone,"
a merman yelled up at me and tapped my foot.
"We all have to stay at level. It's the rules."
"He's with me,"
Phineas boomed, and dozens of merpeople heads turned toward the sound of his voice.
"We need to know where the hooded merman went."
"The guy with the black hood?"
one of the shopkeepers called out.
"Yes, he just came through here," I confirmed. "Which way did he go?"
"That way,"
the merman replied and pointed toward the castle.
"Help me!"
the Duke's voice turned frantic as he took off like a torpedo through the water. The merman leader sailed over the crowd and then up above the rest of the buildings to take a straight shot toward the palace.
"Your Grace!"
Theo called out as the rest of the mermen rushed to catch up with him.
"We need to find a fast swimming spell," I muttered and kicked at the water to paddle after them.
We made it to the palace in record time, and the Duke had already burst in the front door to look for his wife.
"What in the name of Rana are you doing?"
Helmy shrieked as Phineas scooped her up in his arms.
"You're all right," he muttered. "Another mage killed the fisherman and went this way. I was worried he'd come after you."
"Me?"
the Duchess gasped.
"Wait, what about my sisters? They're here too."
"Okay, everyone chill out for a minute," I demanded with my arms out wide. "I have a way to search the castle quickly, but if he's not here, we have to keep moving."
"Do what you must," Phineas agreed.
I sent out a wave of my echolocation magic, a power I'd assimilated from the bats in Kola Ruma, and the sound wave left my body and cascaded through the water before it bounced back and projected an image in my mind's eye of the castle.
"I see 4 merpeople in the kitchen," I murmured, "and 2 more down the hall. Sound about right?"
"Oh, yes. That would be the staff and my sisters."
Helmy sighed with relief.
"Great. Now we need to get back on the mage's trail before we lose him completely, I ordered. Let's go.
I'm coming with you,
the Duchess exclaimed.
I don't want to be here without you with this maniac on the loose.
Yes, stay with me, Phineas agreed, and looped his fingers through hers. I'll leave the guards here to watch over your sisters.
Theo should continue with us, I pointed out. We could use his magical abilities.
Of course, the Duke nodded. Now, let's get him.
We turned to swim back outside when I nearly ran into Aaliyah, Rebecca, and Naomi.
What's going on?
Rebecca asked.
The mer people are freaking out all of a sudden.
Quick version, a mage killed the fisherman, so we're chasing him, I answered, and gestured toward the door. I could use both of your hunting skills to find him. He has a good lead on us now.
Let's go,
Aaliyah growled, and Rebecca nodded.
We'll sniff him out.
The two hunters paddled out into the courtyard and looked around before the lioness pointed to the left. Follow her, I ordered the rest of the group. I kept my eyes on Aaliyah's long golden tail as she used it to propel herself faster through the water. I wasn't paying any attention to where we were going. I just wanted to find the mage before anyone else got hurt. I could hear Phineas huffing with frustration as we continued on the trail before Rebecca glanced over at Aaliyah.
It's gone,
Rebecca sighed and clenched her clawed hands into fists.
The trail ends somewhere around here.
I looked around us to find dozens of houses spread out over several blocks that butted up to the iron fence around the city. The sandstone houses all looked the same, and I growled with annoyance.
Where the hell did he go? I snarled.
I don't know, but check this out,
Naomi called out from the house on our right closest to the fence. I paddled over with Aliona, the Duke, and the Duchess in tow, as the lizard mage pointed to the lower part of the fence that was almost completely hidden by the house next to it. The iron bars were bent up, and the sand had been dug out from a narrow hole. It was black as night inside, and I couldn't tell what was down the hole. I conjured a fireball and held it over the concealed hole. I could just make out a stone floor a few feet down, and it seemed the stones continued past where my light shone into some kind of secret tunnel.
What the fuck is that? I muttered, as I pulled my head into the hole.
Lord Evan!
Aliona gasped.
Be careful!
I've never seen this before, Phineas grunted. Where does it go?
We're about to find out, I said, and glanced over my shoulder at Helmy. The Duchess had her lips pressed together into a thin line, and her cocoa skin had paled at our discovery, but she averted her gaze and pretended to examine the house that concealed the tunnel.
Let's do it, Phineas agreed, and the Duchess took in a sharp breath.
But what if it's a trap?
She asked, and chewed on her bottom lip.
I wouldn't want you to get hurt.
He has all of us,
Marina chirped.
Yeah, we'd never let anything happen to the Duke,
Polina agreed, and balled her fists at her sides.
Nor would I, Theo declared, and conjured a watery sword and shield in his hands. I will ensure his safety.
You have no idea who, or what is down there. I cannot allow this.
You can stop your husband, but you can't stop us, I retorted. We're going to find out where this tunnel leads, with or without the Duke.
Then perhaps I should stay here with Helmy, just in case the mage comes back this way, Phineas decided. I wouldn't want to leave her alone again.
As you wish,
Aliona agreed before I could respond. I cast a sideways look at the princess, and then I realized if we did find anything in this tunnel, it would be better to do it without the Duchess hovering over us. As usual, my fiancé knew what she was doing.
When Nike and Laika catch up, tell them we'll be up soon, I said, and grabbed the edge of the hole to pull myself down. Let's see what's down here.
Then it felt like gravity kicked in, and my feet were sucked to the stone floor. It was the same feeling I got when we sat in the enchanted chairs, and I realized someone had enchanted the tunnel the same way. This was definitely going to lead us to something important. I could feel it. A few seconds later, Aliona, Naomi, Mariah, Aaliyah, Rebecca, Ravi, and the Dryads swam down the hole to meet me, and I could hear their feet land on the stone floor with the same magical pull.
What a strange feeling,
Mariah observed as she lifted one foot and planted it back onto the stone.
Like walking on land, but breathing water,
Ravi sighed.
Very strange.
I wonder if this is what it's like to walk on the moon, I mused, as I took a slow step deeper into the tunnel.
Why would anyone want to walk on the moon?
Rebecca asked with a twitch of her furry ears. Why wouldn't you? I chuckled. The bear demi-human gave me a bewildered look, and I grinned as I turned to light up the tunnel with my fireball. It seemed to go on for about a mile before I could hear some noise ahead of us. Feet scraped the stone floor, and hushed voices spoke in hurried tones. I held my hand up to stop everyone and put my finger to my lips. Then I extinguished the fireball from my hand, and the rest of the tunnel lit up from the lights ahead. It sounded like a cavern waited at the end, and there were several people inside. We crept forward until we reached the mouth of the cavern, and I peered around the open space. At least a dozen people milled around the room or sat at tables chatting or reading books. Some were humans, some were various demi-humans, and one was a centaur man who towered above the others on his long black legs. A handful of them stood in a corner practicing magic, and I watched sparks of green and black magic erupt from their fingers. Nexus magic. I looked back at my lovers who waited for my order, and I drew one finger across my throat in a universal signal. The Green Glass Sect members had to die. As I slowly drew the Sword of Hatra from my belt, Aaliyah and Rebecca flexed their clawed fingers, while Ravi conjured a pair of fiery daggers. Aliona and Naomi's eyes flashed with anger, and Mariah and the Dryads clenched their fists. My lovers were ready for a fight, and this time, they were going to get more than just corrupted fish. Now! I bared my teeth in a feral grin, and launched a fireball into the room.
What the hell?
What's going on?
The intruders started to freak out and drew their weapons as the fiery orb crashed into a table of sect members. A snake demi-human woman hissed and spat venom toward the mouth of the cave, but the water slowed her attack, and the Dryads pushed the water away from us as we stormed inside. I swung my sword in a wide arc that severed the heads of three assassins running toward me, and their heads tumbled from their bodies with slow, deliberate rolls. The water slowed our movements, and it was like watching an action scene in slow motion. Then I turned to see Aaliyah leap over a table and plunge her claws into a human man's chest, and Rebecca ripped her talons across the throat of the snake demi-human who had attacked first. Blood soon filled the water in dark clouds of red and black, and I whipped my sword through the next two sect members who attacked. Their bodies split in half and drifted to the ground, and I swung my blade over my head and spun to plunge it into the gut of a leopard demi-human.
It can't be,
he choked out as blood dribbled over his lips.
You can't be real.
Real as it gets, motherfucker, I thundered, and planted my boot on his chest before I shoved his weakening body off my blade. The demi-human fell backward as blood poured from his belly and clouded the water above him. I took a step back and noticed three of the mages had started working together to conjure some kind of defense. So I called on my fire magic, and a blazing dagger appeared in my hand. Then I launched the dagger at the human mage closest to me, just as the trio released a wave of black ooze. My dagger planted in the man's shoulder, and the magical flames engulfed his black robes with a vengeance before he cast a spell that doused the fire. The ooze, however, continued to flood the cavern. Naomi and Aliona mumbled quickly under their breaths, and their magic formed a gray, smoky barrier that slid across the ground and pushed the black ooze back toward the mages.
No!
One of them called out. Aliona and Naomi continued to use their gray smoke to push the black ooze closer and closer to the trio, and they cowered against the wall of the cavern in fear.
Trying to use Palestra against us?
Aliona scoffed, as she stalked behind the smoky wall toward the mages.
The weakest of the Nexus spells?
Stop this!
One of the mages begged.
We'll surrender!
We don't need your surrender, I sneered. We need the death of all the Green Glass Sect!
With that, my magical women shoved the smoky barrier the last few inches, and the Palestra ooze covered the mages with its sticky black fingers. It reached into their noses, eyes, and ears as they shrieked for help. Once the ooze and smoke dissipated, all three mages lay dead on the ground. Their eyes were solid black, and their lips and noses dripped with more of the Palestra ooze. Other sect members looked over at the dead mages, and some of them began to grovel at our feet.
Please! You don't have to kill us!
One man pleaded.
I've already learned I can't trust a single one of you, I growled. You can all rot in hell with your demons!
As if on cue, Mariah pressed her finger to the man's forehead, and his eyes rolled back into his head before he crumpled to the ground. The others began to howl with fear and run around the cavern to escape, but the dryads used their water magic to wrap them up in bindings and held them in place. Within minutes, the hidden cavern was littered with the bodies of dead Green Glass Sect members, and we stood in the middle of the room overlooking the damage.
Well, I didn't see that coming,
Aaliyah observed as she licked the blood from her claws.
Those sect guys were chicken shits.
They were, I agreed slowly. And they had easy access to the city. But only a few were mages. Why were they here?
Maybe this will help,
Aliona replied and picked up a book from the floor where the mages had practiced.
It's a spell book.
Or this,
Mariah added as she held up another book.
It looks like a journal of some sort.
Okay, let's spread out and find everything we can, I decided. We need to know what these guys were up to and who killed the fisherman. I didn't see anyone that powerful just now.
No, he wasn't here,
Rebecca confirmed.
His scent was very faint, like he'd been here a while ago.
That confirms he's part of the sect, I noted. So we definitely need to find him. We spread out around the cavern to search for information. There were journals to thumb through, spell books to skim, and various notes and letters crammed in between the pages. After a while, Ravi held up a letter.
Hey, check this out,
the phoenix said as she began to read.
N, is H with us or a stop on my trail? It's signed K, which I'm sure is Cairo. But what do you think that means?
It sounds like he's asking if Helmy is actually in the sect or just helping him get to the king, I murmured. Why wouldn't he already know that?
Surely the entire sect doesn't know all its members,
Aliona pointed out.
So far, there have been at least 100 of them, and that's a low estimate.
Yeah, that's true, I agreed with a nod. What else is there?
That's the only letter that mentions H,
Ravi mumbled and flipped through a few more pages.
This one asks when everything will be ready. It seems Cairo really was on the edge of all their plans.
Okay, so the journals are more likely to have some answers, I replied. Anything good in them?
Well, this mage was relatively new to the sect,
Naomi said, and held up a journal.
He was a bandit before, but he was still learning about the sect's plans. Here, he says he doesn't know how the sage plans to control the demons, but his mentor told him to trust in his wisdom. How crazy is that?
Very, I murmured. How does Olivier talk people into blindly following him like that?
You said it before to the fisherman. I don't think it's really about Olivier. It's more about the people he chooses to lead. They need someone to tell them what to do and make sense.
So he picks sheep, I frowned and rubbed my chin in thought. Helmy doesn't seem like a sheep.
It also doesn't seem like she talks to Olivier,
Polina chimed in.
Yeah, I don't think he's the one who talked her into joining,
Trina agreed with a nod.
If she even joined,
Marina said.
Cairo didn't know if she was in it or not, so maybe she was doing something different.
Either way, we found several things that tie the events here to her, I scowled. We need to find out what all she knows.
Do you think she'll admit to anything? She hasn't been very forthcoming, except for how much she dislikes you.
Yeah, but it won't hurt to find out. I slipped a stack of books into my spatial storage. And we need to get information from her so we can find N.
Wait, look at this one,
Aaliyah called out. The lioness held up another journal, but this one was fancier than the others. It had a leather-bound cover with a single eye embossed in the soft material, and the eye almost seemed to watch us as Aaliyah flipped to the pages she'd been reading and pointed to the page. It's become exhausting to lead two lives. I'm getting to be an old man, and what do I have to show for it? A hidden friendship with a royal and a veiled religion based on a man who slays anyone who doesn't follow him. Being in a sect is less invigorating than I'd imagined. I do not know how much longer I'll continue to follow the sage, but if I decide to leave, I must also be prepared to die. The blocky handwriting matched what I'd seen in the letters to Cairo, and I knew immediately the journal belonged to N. But why had he left it behind, or did he typically come down into the cavern? I guess N is tired of working for Olivier, I observed. But he knows if he quits the sect, they'll just kill him, and he's probably right.
Yes, I can't imagine Olivier allowing someone who knows about his plans to simply walk away unscathed,
Mariah agreed and frowned.
But he's obviously still working for him, or he wouldn't have killed the fishermen for them.
Or he's doing just enough work to survive,
Aaliyah suggested.
He said he's getting old, so maybe they don't expect as much from him. One kill here and there would be nothing to him.
Then we definitely need to find him before he has another one of his sporadic murders. Let's take what we can and get out of here. Aliona dropped to her knees and began to dump volume after volume of spells into her spatial storage, and I thought about my idea from before. Are any of those about water magic? I asked the princess.
A few of them, yes,
she confirmed, but then she frowned.
I thought you wielded your water magic quite well, my lord. Did you want to learn more?
Not for me, I chuckled. I do know my magic, but the merpeople have no idea what they're doing. You heard the fisherman. He took magic from people who didn't even know they had it and never missed it. They need to know how to access and control their magic, and, apparently, how to see if they have it.
I'll find a few books for them to study.
A smile warmed Aliona's creamy features, and I momentarily melted under the heat of her grin. The princess was always ready to give to others, and it was one of the things I loved the most about her. My mind flashed to my conversation with Mariah, and I hoped the soul bridges hadn't tainted Aliona's natural desire to give and help others where I was concerned. The idea that she could choose me over helping the people of Rama was bizarre, but it made sense, given the circumstances. We finished packing up all the books and headed back into the tunnel toward the city. We trudged along in near silence, and I wasn't sure if it was due to our exhaustion or the slow motion of walking in water. After what seemed like an hour, I could see the light from the city pouring down into the tunnel. It was dim, like the sun was already going down, and my stomach grumbled as I realized we'd missed lunch with all the excitement of the day. As soon as I reached the pool of light in the tunnel, I jumped and paddled my way to the top of the hole and out into the water where the Duke and Duchess waited with Theo, Nike, and Laika.
Thank the gods!
The wolf demihuman cried out and wrapped her arms around me.
You had me so worried.
We're fine, I chuckled, and kissed the wolf between her furry gray ears. I don't think any of those guys would have stood a chance against us.
Guys?
Helmi echoed as her eyes widened into tiny saucers. Yeah, Green Glass Sect guys, I confirmed. Let's get everyone back to the castle, and we'll tell you what we found.
Of course, you must be hungry, Phineas declared. Theo, go ahead and let the kitchen know we're on our way.
Yes, Your Grace,
Theo replied with a low bow before he took off toward the palace with a flick of his tail. After several hugs were exchanged among my women, I waved for Phineas and Helmi to lead us to the castle. Everyone began the swim back, and I slowed enough to talk with Nike.
Just figured you needed an update, I chuckled, as I gave him an account of everything that had happened since we divided into search parties this morning.
Wow, Nike breathed.
You've had a busy day. I just had to spend hours and hours searching an old dormitory. There were hundreds of rooms. Hundreds.
That's a lot, I scrunched up my face. Glad I didn't get that location to search, unless you found something.
Maybe an old hideout, he said with a shrug.
Nothing definite or exciting. I think you got all the exciting stuff.
I think we did, too, I agreed and grinned. But now we have to find out exactly how Helmi is involved. It seems Cairo wasn't sure she was actually part of the sect, which would make sense, I suppose.
It would,
Nike mused, and ran a hand through his jet-black hair.
When will you talk with her?
Over dinner, of course, I laughed.
Of course, the noble chuckled.
A few minutes later, we arrived at the palace and followed the Duke and Duchess into the sitting area, where Sana, Aira, and Linnea lounged across the chairs, and then perked up with curiosity as we swam inside.
Well?
Aira asked, and flicked her tail with anticipation.
Long story or short? I asked.
Long, of course,
Linnea breathed, but the look in the mermaid's eyes told me there were a few other long things she was interested in. I took a deep breath to settle my raging hormones and relayed the day to the women.
And then we found some journals and stuff we're going to look through, I finished.
Journals?
Helmi asked and crossed her arms.
Whose journals? How do you know they're real?
They match the handwriting from the letters we found in Atheson, I explained. Oddly enough, he talks quite a bit about someone he calls H.
He does.
Helmy gripped the edge of her chair so hard I thought she might splinter the wood. Yup, and H was supposed to help Cairo travel to the Miharedi Mountains, I continued, as I stared directly at the Duchess. Does that sound like anything you knew about?
Wait, was that the diplomatic leader meeting you had planned for next week?
Phineas turned to stare at his wife.
I'd received word a diplomat and his staff would be arriving here soon, yes,
Helmy explained carefully.
But he never confirmed, so I didn't want to bother you with something so insignificant.
Visitors are not insignificant information, the Duke gently scolded her. I want to know everything going on in our city, Helmy. You know that.
Of course, my love,
she murmured and dropped her eyes.
My apologies.
Who was the diplomat? I prodded. Did you catch a name?
Kevin, maybe?
She suggested with a shrug.
I don't recall.
Phineas seemed satisfied with her response, but I knew something else was up. Why would N care if Helmy was prepared for a guest other than Cairo? I already knew that answer. He wouldn't. Before I could push further, the servants brought out trays of more fish, and I knew once we left the ocean I was never touching another fish again. Even though I knew we needed to find the mage, I could see very little light coming down to the ocean floor from above, so the sun must have nearly disappeared behind the horizon so the three moons of Anadi could be visible in the sky. If we started a search now, we wouldn't be able to see a damn thing within the hour.
Lord Evan, you look wrapped up in your thoughts,
Sana observed with a sly smile as she twisted a lock of her cotton candy hair around her finger.
Yes, I think we could help you unwind,
Aira added and winked.
Or unwrap, whichever you prefer.
Girls,
Helmy scolded them.
Back to your chambers.
Fine.
Aira pouted and then turned to me.
The offer is still open.
Thanks, I chuckled, as the two linked arms and swished toward the hall that led to their chambers.
I apologize for their forwardness, Phineas murmured. They're really struggling with being the last two single sisters.
I'm sure it won't last long, I reassured him. They're beautiful women, though I don't know if even I could handle both of them at once with all their energy. I'm drained.
Chasing crazy mages and shaving people seem to be part of your regular day job, Phineas observed.
It's really not that far-fetched, I chuckled, as I forked another bite of yellow fish into my mouth and chewed slowly before I finally laid the fork down on the table next to my tray.
That's it. I'm stuffed.
Most of the group agreed, and the dryads rushed upstairs to start an air station session before they went to bed.
What can I do?
Naomi wondered.
We can check out the new books,
Aliona offered.
Yes!
Ravi hissed with excitement. They began to gather around the princess as she pulled a few books out from her spatial storage and plopped them on the table with a loud smack.
Okay, have fun with that, I chuckled. I'm hitting the hay. I'll see you in the morning.
Good night, my love,
Aliona purred.
I'll join you shortly.
Before I could even turn around, the princess was nose deep in another book, and I headed for my chambers to relax a while before I passed out. I lay down on the bed and thought about how the Duchess had essentially admitted to knowing Cairo was coming to Pullis, but she'd blamed a lack of communication and misinformation for not telling Phineas. Could it be that she was discovering most of the problems as we reached them? Was she really not as involved as she looked? But then I had to consider the Parla. The Duchess's most prized possession somehow ends up lost and then found on a pirate ship dead set on attacking us and stealing my treasure. It all seemed a bit coincidental, but why would those pirates just happen to know there was a dragon right there by the Oracle's cave? Could she have told them where we were? The cave really did have all the ingredients we needed, so that only helped her to claim she didn't know. The questions revolved around in my head, and I realized there was no way I was falling asleep this early. Then I heard the castle creak with footsteps in the hallway outside my door.